Thank you, Andy, for leading us. I think it would be most appropriate for us to pray, don't you? Partly because actually that song we just sung really was a prayer. We're asking God to speak to us that we might walk the way that the Lord Jesus calls us to walk. So let's pray. Let's ask God to do exactly what we sung. O gracious and heavenly Father, we want to worship and adore you. And as we come before your word, we ask, please, that all of us may be humble to listen and to obey exactly what you call us to do. Help us trust your wisdom, O Lord. Thank you for your magnificent salvation. Equip us by the Holy Spirit, we ask, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Good. We've prayed that, so let's listen to God's answer. Open the Bible, please, to that passage that you have just read from 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Some of you might be old enough to remember watching on TV the Pepsi Challenge. Some of you might not, but basically there was a challenge done by Pepsi to say that basically you could blindfold yourself and you could take a bunch of drinks and you would know instinctively which one was Pepsi because it was so good. At least that's what they said, right? And it's quite an interesting thing to think about that, the Pepsi challenge. But let me change that. Let me give you that as a challenge, only just change it ever so slightly. Instead of thinking about how you taste about Pepsi, I want you to think, how would you be able to tell authentic Christian leadership? See, in the same way as with Pepsi, you'd be able to spot it. At least that's what the advert was. You'd be able to taste it. So you should be able to recognize authentic Christian leadership. Should be obvious to you. You know the way to spot it? It's very simple. A Christian leader should act and lead like Jesus. He should have a cross-shaped ministry. And that's what this whole passage is all about. That's what we're going to be thinking about all during this sermon. And this is an enormous challenge both to you and to me. To us who are Christian leaders, and those who follow Jesus. Now, just to give a background, really, it's really helpful to kind of realize that when you read something like 1 Corinthians, it's a bit like jumping into a film that has started about half an hour ago. You know, you've walked in and this film has started, and almost the first thing you're going to do is you're going to ask someone else, what's happened, you know? And of course, everybody's thinking, no, 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 don't disturb me. I'm trying to watch it. But you need to figure out what's happened. There's always a drama that's going on. And underneath the drama, there's an underlying message or a lesson to learn. And the thing is, we can't just learn the lesson. Although the lesson is really important, you've got to see the lesson in the context of the drama that's going on. So, what is going on in Corinth, in this church? Andy very helpfully reminded us, this is a messed up church. This is a church that has all kinds of divisions. This was a church where people were basically coming to church and they were and if they didn't like the minister that was preaching, they'd kind of open up their iPad and say, "Oh, I'd rather watch my favorite minister." There were people saying, "Well, I follow Paul or I follow Apollos." There was all kinds of divisions in this church, all kinds of squabbling. But here's the thing, this was happening because the leaders of the church were abandoning the idea of the cross. The leaders of the church were more interested in looking good and sounding good than they were in the cross. And the point you've got to understand, the point that's really at the heart of all of this is this, that when you have leaders that drift from the cross, then the church will drift from Jesus. When you have leaders who drift away from the cross, then you will have the church drifting away from obeying Jesus. And you will have a church a bit like this that descends into petty squabbles and is interested in putting their favorite minister on a pedestal. So Paul writes this letter to address the very issues. He says, let's fix this messed up church. And as we've seen, he said, look, first and foremost, you must thank God for your salvation. Remember, it's him who rescued you. Remember what salvation is all about the Lord Jesus Christ, about the fact you're forgiven, about the fact that you are justified, about the fact that you are sanctified, the fact that you will be glorified. You'll be seeing that in Grapevine as it comes out fairly soon. Then we saw the next part is that he said, listen, you've got to rely upon the gospel. Stop relying on men, rely on the gospel. And stop squabbling. We're servants of the King, and he values us so much. And so today's lesson. Here's today's lesson. Oh, you must follow your leaders. That follow Jesus Christ on this crossroad. Follow leaders that follow Jesus on his road of the cross. That's what we're going to look at today. So I wonder if you can see how what Paul is saying to us is really important. How Paul says this is how you get a church back on track. This is how you get the church to be what it's supposed to be. This is how you get Khan-free church, which I think is on track, by the way, to reflect the Lord Jesus to its community. This is how you get the church to be what it's supposed to be. Us, we're supposed to be an outpost of heaven. Remember that? So let's listen very carefully to the things that he says we need to do. Because he says three things. And I'll be a bit longer on the first and much shorter on the second two. Firstly, he says this, ensure that you have faithful leaders who will preach the cross. Ensure you have faithful leaders who will preach the cross. Now, I want to tell you that this is a passage where I am preaching to myself and to John and to David and to Paul. And so for us, I want to change that particular hook or that particular line to say, not ensure that you have, ensure that we are faithful leaders who preach the cross. And I want to show you that that's exactly what Paul is telling us to do and what you must expect of us right from verse 1. So take a look at verse 1 and see it. So then, he says, men ought to regard us, he's talking about himself as an apostle, and though we are not apostles, we carry the same apostle message. Men ought to regard us as servants of Christ. Remember what Christ is? Christ is a title. It's not Jesus' last name. It means the King of the universe forever. We are servants of the King of the universe forever. as those who've been entrusted with the secret things or the mysterious or the mysteries of God. We are his servants. And as servants, we must be faithful or trustworthy. We must reliably tell you what he tells us, what he reveals. And do you know what he reveals? You know what the big mystery is, the secret thing, as it were? It's the cross. That the God of the whole universe, the God who made all things, the God whom we have offended, who we rebelled against, the God who holds us accountable, loves us so much. Loves us so much that he would die for us. Pay for everything we've ever done wrong and everything we'll ever do wrong. Just so that we could be with him. And I don't care if you've been a Christian 80 years or if you're just looking into Christianity for the first time. You've got to take that in. That God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, comes to take your sin and my sin, in order that we might be right before God, in order that we might live with God forever, in order that we might defeat death and enjoy him forever. There is no God who loves us like this God. Stop for a moment and think about that. Don't pass it over. Don't say, well, I know all this already. No, no. There's nothing more important than this. See, it's really important that we preach this because it's so easy, actually, for us to preach anything else. And this, the cross, is where God says he shows his power and his wisdom. This is the way that people become Christians and have everlasting life. We shouldn't run from this. And it really is easy to preach anything other than the cross, you know. It's easy to preach about, oh, I don't know, Black Lives Matter or the environment and climate change or institutionalized racism or unfairness or all kinds of things. But that's not important. That's not that those things aren't important. They are, and we will get to them. But you must see what's most important. It's the cross. I was listening to an Australian preacher, it was about 10 years ago now, actually, in London. His name was Al Stewart. And he was talking about the fact that sometimes preachers get so obsessed with all kinds of other things rather than what's really important. And he mentioned the fact that that people at the time, we were worried about global warming. In those days, we called it global warming, not climate change. And I remember clearly what he said. He said, global warming, you think it's hot now? Wait till Jesus comes back. And I know it seemed flippant, but the point he made was so very important. Because he was talking about hell. You need to trust this Jesus. You need to repent if you have not. Nothing is more important than that. And you need preachers to preach that to you. You need leaders who will make that their emphasis. So insist that your leaders are faithful. And there's one more bit about this bit, about being faithful. I wish that was the end, but there's a bit more that he says. Take a look at verse 3 and you'll see it. Because a faithful leader is more interested in Jesus' opinion than in men's. I care very little, says Paul, if I'm judged by you or by any human effort, any human court. Indeed, I don't even judge myself. My conscience is clear, but that doesn't make me innocent. It is the Lord who judges me. So here's the instruction to would-be leaders and those of us who are. Look to your Savior and your King for your commendation, not to men. Whose judgment do you care more about? Whose well done do you care more about, the Lord Jesus's or men's? In the growth groups you're about to read, you'll find there's a passage, there's a bit where the guy says, look, we cannot please God if we live to please men. And it's very unlikely that you will please men if you live to please God. You just have to make a decision about who it is you want to please. And that doesn't just go for leaders. That goes for all Christians. Whose judgments do you care more about? Your friends, your family, your work colleague, or the Lord Jesus? Let me be particularly poignant and slightly controversial. We live in a time where to speak about LGBT issues and to say that that is sinful, you will be called homophobic. I want to make it absolutely clear, I'm not picking on gay people at this moment. It's just, this is the real hot button issue for us right now. It's come up even in the Queen's speech about conversion therapy. I want you to know that viewing pornography or sleeping with someone of the opposite sex who is not married is just as sinful in God's eyes. So I'm not picking on gay people. But the question as Christians you need to ask is, whose judgment do you care more about? Do you care that people will say to you, oh, you can't say that? Or do you care that you love people enough to say, you need to understand what God calls sin separates you from Him? And you want to know this God who will rescue you and deliver you and give you life everlasting. So here's what you must do. Here's a practical way forward for all leaders and for all Christians who are kind of worried about their leaders. Take a look at verse 5, because verse 5 gives you the answer of what you should do. It says, trust. Trust that the Lord Jesus will judge all his leaders. All the leaders of his church, the Lord Jesus will judge. He will judge what's in our hearts. He will judge our motivation. And those of us who obey him and love him will receive from him his commendation, his well done, my good and faithful servant. Trust. Don't worry. If you've got bad leaders, God will deal with them. It's a very scary thing for us. That's the first thing, and that's the longest thing. So let's move on to the other two. It's not just about what a leader says, is it, that matters? It's about how he lives, isn't it? So ensure that you have leaders that are obedient leaders who live cross-shaped lives. Ensure that I must ensure that I am an obedient leader who lives a cross-shaped life. Take a look at verse 6 and 7. Now, brothers, says Paul, I've applied these things to myself. You see, I don't just preach these things. I live out what I say. I've applied it to myself and to Apollos for your benefit, so that you may learn from us the meaning of that saying, don't go beyond what is written. I won't preach, he says, other than what's in Scripture. I keep myself to it. So that you won't take pride in one man over another. Literally, so that you don't say, oh, isn't it great we've got so-and-so. He can tell us all about this and all about that and all about the other. Oh, I'm so glad, this guy's our pastor. Isn't he great? God doesn't want that from us. Because what's more important is the message, not the messenger. Remember how Paul talks about himself? He says, I'm just a servant. I'm nothing. This gospel is everything. So for all of us leaders and all of us Christians, actually ask yourself repeatedly the questions of verse 7. Ask yourself these questions that are in verse 7. Who gave you the gifts you got? If you receive these gifts, how are you supposed to live, use them? The more you ask yourself these questions, the more we'll end up being thankful and humble people. Instead of what these Corinthians were like in verse 8. See, in verse 8, Paul kind of ironically kind of says, look at you guys. Look at your leaders. Already you've got all that you want. Already you've become rich. You've become like kings or that you've been reigning, and that without us. And he says, oh, how I wish. How I wish you really were kings. How I wish you really were reigning so that we might reign with you. Do you know what he's talking about? He's talking about when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. Because when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, all who are with him will reign with him, will rule with him. That's the amazing thing we get to have. We won't just be walking around and eating and laughing. We'll be reigning with the King of the universe. Us, who've sinned against this God. So wait for that time, says Paul. Instead, he says, let me show you what my life is really like. Let me show you what following Jesus is like in the meantime. And verse 9 to 11, and it's just, in fact, 9 to 13, but verse, it's really, he opens his heart and he shows you. Look at it. He says, for it seems to me that God has put us apostles, that is, those who have physically seen the Lord Jesus risen from the dead, he's put us on display at the end of the procession like men condemned to die in an arena. You can imagine what it was like. Those people, their idea of the FA Cup final was to watch people, gladiators, fighting and killing each other, or Christians to be thrown to lions. That was their idea of sport. And he says, that's us. It's like we're in that arena. And soon they would be, actually. We've been made a spectacle to the whole universe, he says, to angels as well as to men. We are fools for Christ. That is, we keep preaching the cross, but you're so wise. You keep preaching about everything else. About Black Lives Matter and environmental stuff. And we're weak. We keep looking and relying upon God. But you're so strong. You're honored. The world loves you. We're dishonored. Look, to this very hour, We go around hungry and thirsty. We're in rags. We're brutally treated. We're homeless. We're persecuted. And when we're persecuted, we endure it. And when we're slandered, we don't give back. This is the way leaders are to walk. It's not glamorous, is it? Who else walked this way? I know we're all wearing face masks in here, but nod your head if you know the answer to this question. It's a very Sunday school question. Who else walked this way? Exactly. Jesus. Our King, our Savior, walked this way. So we must imitate our King. That's what you should be looking for in us leaders. Not whether we're flashy or we're great speakers or we're TV friendly. Not whether the world loves us. No. Do we imitate Jesus in our action? In our relationships? Are we willing to suffer for the gospel? For this gospel that brings people to everlasting life and have their sins forgiven? Will we make the sacrifice, us leaders? That's what you must be looking for in your leaders. And can I say to you that what's true for a Christian leader is true for all Christians? And so here's the third and most important point. You must ensure that you have leaders who encourage you to follow Jesus on that road of the cross. If you're not a leader, you need to have leaders who encourage you to follow Jesus on his road of the cross, just like the leaders are. And Paul starts, he gets to this in verse 14 to 16 and 17, and he's so tender with them. He makes this really personal appeal to them in verse 14. Look at it. He says, I'm not writing this to shame you. I want to warn you as my dear children. I want you to turn your thinking, your wrong thinking around, because I love you, because you're my children in Christ. I'm the one who brought the gospel to you, and you believe the Lord Jesus. That's what verse 15 is all about. It says you may well have lots of different leaders now who are telling you what to do, but remember me. I'm the one who brought the gospel to you. So imitate me as I imitate Jesus. That's the point. That's the most important thing. It's what he says in verse 16. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me. This is the key for us leaders. Will you pray for your people? Will you love them? Will you humbly teach them? Will you suffer for them? Will you take abuse for them, for the gospel? Will you sacrifice for them? And those of us who aren't Christians, will you imitate your Christian leaders and follow your Christian leaders as they follow Jesus on the road to the cross? Let me put it in a very simple way for you to grasp. Verse 16 goes to the heart of everything we must do. Paul says in verse 16, look at me and copy me. That's what he says. Look at me and copy me. And you must ask Paul and David, and John, and me. You must ask us, now are you copying Jesus? Because I'm supposed to copy you. Remember what Jesus said? In Mark chapter 8, verse 34, he called the crowd to himself and said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That's what we must do, my brothers and sisters. Because when we deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow the Lord Jesus, we live out our purpose. And then we're effective in the hands of our Savior and our King. And he will bring people to himself using us. And there's just one tiny little bit at the end, which he will get onto a bit later on, and I won't spend any time realistically now, but there's just a little warning. Because there will always be people who will say no, who will resist the Lord Jesus. And from verse 18 to 21, you see how Paul kind of says, I don't want to come and be the one who brings the very power of God against you because you are resisting what God wants. The kingdom of God is not about talking, it's about power. Oh, that power can change your heart, it can make you love Jesus. But if you resist, then God will deal with you in utter power. It's very scary. And he'll develop that a bit later on. So here it is. I want you to look at Jesus as we come to the end. Take a good look in your mind's eye at the Lord Jesus Christ. He walked the road of the cross, didn't he? And God magnificently used him. I mean, look at us. It's been 2,000 years. And what the Lord Jesus did 2,000 years ago is the reason why we're here, isn't it? This is the God who can do all things. So trust his wisdom. Trust him when he says, preach the cross. Trust him when he says, obey humbly and walk the way of the cross. Trust him when he says, leaders, get the people to copy you as you copy Jesus. Trust him. And he'll magnificently use us. Christian, you must insist on and you must imitate leaders who imitate Jesus on his crossroad. Follow leaders who follow Jesus along his crossroad. That's how you fix a messed up church. Let's pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you that first and foremost, you are the God who saves us. That you don't give us what we deserve, but you shower us with your grace and your kindness and rescue us in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for us, paid for our sin, and gives us freely his righteousness. Lord, would you please help us as leaders that we would follow the Lord Jesus, that we would copy him and have his heart, and that others may copy us and obey him. Lord, we want to be the church that you want us to be. We want to be the church that reflects you to our community, that shines like stars, and is an outpost of heaven. Thank you, Father, that this is a prayer that you always answer. Help us be ready and obedient and loving to our King.